Today we're going to be out of John 14, but I have a few things to ask you first, as I always do. If I were to wear this Rays jersey, sorry Carol, I know you don't like sports, but don't worry, it's not all about sports. You'll laugh in a minute. If I were to wear this Rays jersey, does this make me a Rays baseball player?
Yes. No.
I heard a yes. I'll put it on and see. I think that's a no. I mean, the Rays organization hopes not, because I'm really not that great at hitting a 100-mile-an-hour thing that's this size coming at me, okay? That doesn't make me a part of the baseball team, right, and I wear that jersey. Let's say I have a gym membership, and maybe my membership card looks like this. Maybe let's say I go to the gym a few times a week, and I get in and I do a couple workouts. Does that make me fit and healthy? We all know that. We wish that's how it worked. But that's not how it works. What if I were to say, I follow Jesus? Maybe even wear the t-shirt. Oh, a cross maybe. A necklace with a cross, right? Does that make me a disciple of Jesus? All the outward signs doesn't necessarily make us a followers of Jesus, okay? Today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. I like that I threw some of you a curveball. That's good. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture today written by John, in which Jesus describes, as I look at this passage, four characteristics of his disciples. And they're not wearing the t-shirt, they're not wearing the cross, and they're not even going to church, really. We live in a world full of labels and people saying certain things, but Jesus looks, as we boil all this down and read this scripture, looks at the evidence of your life, your actions. So, we're going to read this scripture today, and we're going to see from Jesus' mouth, his own words, what it means to be a follower and a disciple of him. And then, this is a standard that we're going to set our lives to live. You in, right? You're in. All right. John 14:15-21. Good. I got the verses right. Last week was a little treacherous. Had the wrong stuff up. But anyway, today, John 14:15-21. Let's read this passage of Scripture, and then we're going to start breaking it down. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives within you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. When I read this scripture this week and started really thinking about it and pondering it, I could come down with a breakdown of four different things within this scripture that describe a disciple of Jesus. And it starts right from the very beginning. The first one, if you're writing our points down, I've got four of them today, and here's the first one. A true disciple has a heart that loves. Jesus starts right at the very beginning of this passage, doesn't he? Talking about love. If you love me, love is at the heart of a true follower of Jesus. Notice Jesus doesn't say, if you fear me, if you serve me. He says, if you love me. Being a disciple of Jesus isn't built on duty, and it's definitely not a spiritual checklist. Do these things, good, I got it. I'm a follower of Jesus. It's built on a relationship with him, with love as the foundation. In the previous chapter, in John 13, Jesus says that, the words of Jesus, people will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Love is the foundation, the defining characteristic of his disciples. Why do we love? Well, John also writes that because he loved us. He loved us first. So Jesus started this mission, this love mission, and then we as his disciples are to carry that mission on in love. Jesus doesn't say, hey, being a disciple is just believing the right things about me. It's not about belief. Being a disciple means you love. As disciples of Jesus, our love for him should fuel and be at the center and the foundation of every single thing we do. Without love, church becomes routine. Obedience becomes obligation. Ugh. And our faith becomes dry. Love turns following Jesus into a desire that you just can't explain. You just can't explain it. And this desire to love fuels us, and it spills over into all of our actions towards others. So, a true disciple has a heart of love. As Jesus says, if you love me. But then he goes in and says, goes into my second point here. He directly ties this love to an action. Second point, a true disciple lives a life that reflects Jesus. Jesus follows up, if you love me, then you're going to obey what I command. Jesus is saying here that our love for him sets our desire to obey his what he says, his teachings, to follow his teachings and apply them to our life. And it changes how we live. We don't obey to earn something. We don't obey because we're afraid of something. We obey because we love. And because we love, we obey. They work together, in my opinion. Now, some of you might be a little uncomfortable with this whole then obey my commands. You would be my sheep that like to test the rules. My sister growing up was one of those people. Love you, sis. I was the compliant one. I know you guys can't believe that. And she, well, I remember mom telling her not to touch the pizza pan because it just came out of the oven and it was hot. Guess what my sister did? She touched the pizza pan. That's right. Right? It's just her personality. And doggone it, I love her for it. But anyway, that's a story for another time. I also know some of you from Bible study and conversations that we have. And I know some of you hear the word command and you like tense up. You think rules and strictness and pressure, maybe even failure. You're like, I don't want to set myself that high because I might fail. And no, I'm just not going to do it. Right? But this is coming. We have to remember, Jesus is saying this. If you love me, you're going to do what I say. You're going to live how I tell you to live. You're going to follow my teachings. That's what a disciple is. And it's coming from our Savior, right? And our great shepherd, whose number one driving factor for us to obey his commands is love. Remember, we just talked about love a little bit just a few minutes ago. When we love Jesus, we want to do what he asks. Commands. And it feels like privilege in a relationship, honestly, not strictness and rules. Disciples of Jesus not only listen to his teachings, but then they act on them. That's the crux of all this. If you love me, then you're going to act like you love me. James writes in his book in chapter 1, verse 22, don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. That's true discipleship. Maybe I've shared this before. I don't know. I don't remember. But my grandma has a saying hanging up in her house. It says, actions prove why words mean nothing. This is how the world is watching us, church. Watching to see if we just listen to Jesus or if we actually act on his teachings. Because in the end, words mean nothing. Now, the great part about this obey thing is that we don't have to do it alone. That's good news, isn't it? Isn't it? Okay, you guys are there. Okay, just making sure. And this goes directly to my third point. A true disciple has a spirit within them to sustain this calling. Jesus is telling them to love and obey. He's saying, you've heard what I've been teaching. Love one another. Act like it. But he knows full well as he's saying this that he is about to die. And he's going to be gone for a while. We're still waiting for him to come back, right? In verse 16 and 17, let's revisit that. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I'm not going to leave you alone. This passage of Scripture is part of what people call the farewell discourse of Jesus, because it's a 5-chapter speech that John wrote down and recorded, where Jesus is at the end of his ministry and he's just trying to finalize some things for his disciples. It's his last, I call it Jesus' last gasp. He's like giving them all he's got, teaching them as much as he possibly can. So Jesus is about to die. And instead of saying, well, good luck, fellas. I did what I could. You guys got this, right? He promises not to abandon them and to ask God to give them the Holy Spirit. So instead of a you got this moment, he says, I'm going to give you some help. Oh, thank goodness, right? Thank goodness. Now, my version of the Bible says counselor. Yours may say helper. Some say advocate or comforter. Whatever your translation, the original text in the Greek, I want to point out for you, because it's the word parakletos, which literally means the one called alongside to help. The one called alongside to help. So Jesus may be gone, but he promises that the Holy Spirit's going to be there to help his disciples in his absence. Pretty cool, right? And it's not that the Holy Spirit's just going to be there. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will live in you, right? Verse 17. And be in you, which I think is stinking cool. Okay? Because if you think about it, this is totally new. I talked about new versus old last week. This is totally new too. If you think about the old Hebrew scriptures, the Spirit of God came upon people in the stories that we see to do some amazing and awesome things. But the Spirit of God came upon them. Like Gideon, Samson, David, and Paul, those are some examples where when you read the scripture, the Spirit of God came upon them. Here is something new. The Holy Spirit is actually going to dwell within them. Isn't it good to know that we have this life that we're called to live with high standards, to love and do everything that Jesus tells us to in our actions to other people, with love as the basis of everything? But isn't it awesome to know we don't have to do it alone? Woo! Anybody else like, oh, thank goodness, right? Thank God that he sent us the Holy Spirit to be able to help us. We don't do this on our own power. And I know for me, I have to remind myself all the time of that. The promise of a Holy Spirit dwelling in us brings so much hope, because we have someone that comes along beside us. Better yet, it comes along within us to help. Discipleship of Jesus, following him, means we have the Holy Spirit that helps us produce things like the fruits of the Spirit. Anybody remember those? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the Holy Spirit living within us that Jesus promises here, that we are supposed to show out to the world as his disciples. So cool. So I think for me, my change is, instead of saying, now that I know and it's reiterated to me, I have the Holy Spirit living within me, Instead of saying, I need to do better, I need to say instead, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Because that Holy Spirit is right there within me. To do what I can't do, to do what you can't do, to do what we can't do on our own power. It's the Holy Spirit working within us. When we start to live our lives with that mindset, with the Holy Spirit, and dependent upon the Holy Spirit to do what we need to do and behave how we need to behave, something beautiful happens. We have a deeper relationship with Jesus. It's not just an existing relationship. It's a deep, meaningful relationship. And that brings me to point number four. A true disciple has a growing relationship with Jesus. And this is probably my shortest point here because I'm amongst people who we're like-minded, aren't we? We know what this church is all about, don't we? This church is about spiritual enrichment and growth. Verse 21, at the end. Well, I'm just going to read the whole thing. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. I love that end. I will show myself to him. I think you all understand, since we are a church of enrichment and growth, that you understand that Christianity isn't stationary and unchanging. It is constantly evolving and moving. There's constant movement in our spiritual walk and in our spiritual lives. When Jesus shows himself to us, this provides a relationship with him that is a journey. It's a day-by-day journey. Jesus isn't one and done. He is here daily, growing steadily. We are constantly with him. And when we love Jesus, and when we obey his commands, and we let the Holy Spirit guide us, the natural next step is that we grow, spiritually speaking, we grow in our relationship with him. This is really a super cool point to me too, because being a disciple of Jesus means that Jesus is going to show himself to me. Through the Holy Spirit in me, he's going to continue to show himself. Isn't that cool? Right? And through that, and that relationship, just like a friendship or any other relationship you have, you show up for one another and you grow closer and closer together. Disciples of Jesus will feel him more deeply. We are going to experience him, and we're going to experience his love on a grander scale, more than you can ever imagine. Just like any relationship, the more you get to know Jesus, the more you can see him and feel him in your life, all the parts of your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between. A true disciple continues growing, learning, and feeling, experiencing Jesus in their lives. So at the beginning of the sermon, let me reiterate what we said. We said that we just can't be a part of any sports team or anybody with a jersey because you wear the jersey. That's not how it works. If you have a gym membership, just because you have a gym membership doesn't mean you're healthy and fit. Oh boy. Thanks a lot, Pastor Tosh. She's got the clicker. So just because we say that we're disciples of Jesus, and on the outside it may look like we're doing all the right things, that doesn't mean that we're living like his disciples. That's the challenge for today. Jesus made it clear as I'm reading this scripture and pondering what our message is, that a real disciple is marked by a heart that loves him, a life that obeys him, a dependence on the Holy Spirit, and that a relationship that is constantly evolving and growing. I pray that this church reflects true discipleship out into this world. This world is full of people who say, and I fight this all the time, and I was just talking to somebody on Friday about it, like we agree, like the world says discipleship and Jesus is this one thing, but then their actions are far from what Jesus teaches us. But I stand as your leader and say, we're going to be a church of people who know what true discipleship is. We're not going to get it right all the time. But man, we're going to put it at the forefront of our minds, and we're going to do our darndest to be out in this world what real Christianity is, what real disciples of Jesus are. I want us to be a group of people who show true discipleship in who we are, how we act. And when the world tries to tell us what a follower of Jesus is, and it doesn't set right because it doesn't match up with what Jesus says, we're not going to listen to that, and we're going to continue to focus on and listen to our true leader, our true shepherd, right? Jesus. And we're going to continue to learn what he has to say and put those words and those teachings into action and obey and do what he says that we're going to do. This is a serious commitment, honestly, and one that we can't take lightly. So as you think about your life and where you are for this assignment, because there's a lot of work that needs to be done, right? Out in this world, we all agree with that. I ask these questions for you to think about it. Don't take these questions lightly. Think about them. And then apply them and figure out, okay, come on, Holy Spirit, help me do this thing that I've been called to do, because you're not called to do it by yourself. Ask these questions. Do I really love Jesus by my actions? Or do I just like the idea of Jesus, but I haven't made a change in my life? Look, loving Jesus means you change your behavior. Is there an area of my life that I know he taught me to act differently, but I'm just resisting? I know I'm supposed to do this, but maybe there's that area for you to work on with the Holy Spirit within you to help you. Am I trying to live on my own power? Or do I allow the Holy Spirit, the one called to come alongside me to help, to actually help me? Is my relationship with Jesus growing, or is it routine and comfortable? It is what it is. I'm good. I want us, church, to be the real thing. I really do. And I want us to be the real thing because Jesus called us not to look like disciples or say the right words that we are disciples and say, oh yeah, I follow Jesus. But this world and Jesus has called us to actually be the disciples in this world. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this scripture to remind us and to guide us and direct us as to what true discipleship is really all about. We come to you today with all these thoughts and questions in our head about how we act and how we love. Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us? Are we truly growing? And God, I just pray for all of us that's in this room. I pray for all of us who are watching remotely that we take these things to heart and we think about what we can do to grow closer to you and how we can rely on the Holy Spirit to help us. We love you so much. And we take this challenge very seriously. Holy Spirit, help us in all ways and at all times. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.